This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Chuang and Xiaoning. This morning, we are taking a look at a new piece of local Malaysian news, specifically the Media Council. So we have been long awaiting the formation of this Media Council, which is an independent body with the objective of setting journalistic standards and handling media-related feedback. And the government has taken another step closer to this council by establishing a pro tem committee.
Basically, the committee will study what the council's objectives and functions will be, along with its constitution and membership code of conduct and so on. And of course, this was one of Pakatan Harapan's promises in its election manifesto.
Yeah, this council is all about reflecting the openness and transparency that comes with the new government. I think specifically a few things. They want to look at repeal oppressive laws that are seen as detrimental to the media, whether it's the Official Secrets Act, whether it's the Printing and Presses Publications Act, or even other legislation along those same lines. They also want to try and build credibility and trust in the media. And what is perhaps more interesting for me is they also want to cover digital assets. You know, the so-called internet social media, which has been a purveyor of hate speech in certain recent times.
Fake news.
So for some insight into this process, we have on the line with us Gayathri Venkateswaran, Assistant Professor of Media and Communications at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Thank you very much for joining us, Gayathri. So what will be the key role of the Pro Tem Committee in forming this Media Council? Why is this a necessary step?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that are quite positive in this. One is that there is an opportunity to actually get much more discussions about how and what will be the look and feel of the proposed Media Council. I think there's been a kind of a consensus that it will be through a legislative process, just so that, you know, there's some kind of, associating some strength to it, yeah? There's also opportunity to sort of bring it back to the stakeholders and public to be involved in that process. I think it's good that we are not sort of given a draft and say, okay, you know, you look at this and then tell us what you think. But it's actually a process that can allow, I think, much more input into what the objectives are, what the focus will be, coming up with a code of ethics. So there should be a lot more participation from different stakeholders. But to me, I think the key area is also an opportunity to look at the other legislations that currently already impede media freedom and professional work. So to me, I think that is actually very important, because one of the things that many of us in civil society, in the media field, is that, look, a media council needs the room, needs the independence, and you can't have some of the laws that, basically can haul up any editors and journalists. So like the Printing Presses and Publications Act, the Communications Multimedia Act. So to me, I think it's a good process because it opens up that opportunity.
And Gayathri, since you mentioned the Printing Presses and Publications Act and other laws that limit press freedom, is this on the agenda for the committee to perhaps raise the topic about abolishing these acts? What are the other key issues that need to be resolved at this stage then?
So definitely some of us, and I think actually many even in the media, would without hesitation say, you know, the PPPA has to go. This is something that has been, it's a big threat to the fundamental rights of the media. We definitely will put it up. I think many of us are committed to making sure that that's an area of discussion. Some of us even want to get recommendations on how to move forward, because clearly, you know, we need to recognize that the limitation or the restriction of competing laws will be an issue, and we feel that it cannot continue in that way, because then it jeopardizes the credibility of any council that is formed in any manner. So for many of us, it's really a priority. And I think that we want to make sure that our recommendations clearly state that the PPPA, for example, has to go either concurrently or in a very short span of time once the Media Council is proposed to Parliament or passed by Parliament. So, you know, not delaying it any further, because then it doesn't make sense, yeah? You can't have two sort of mechanisms, and one that criminalizes content sort of lurking in the background while you're trying to tell journalists, you know, you have to do your job in an ethical and professional manner.
Yeah, guys, wait, legislative impediments to a freer press is one thing, but the other side is obviously trying to build trust, credibility and qualities within the media industry. What are the steps at this point in time that you think might be put in place to increase the quality of journalism in this country?
So I think one of the areas that we will look at, and it's fundamental to any councils or self-regulatory body, is actually the commitment towards those standards. Yeah. So the code of ethics will be sort of key to making sure that the council is guided by this document, this set of principles that actually demand the kind of practice from the media community. But it's not sufficient to say, okay, guys, here is the code of ethics. You follow. If you don't follow, then you're going to be open to complaints. It has to come with some level of capacities for the journalists, for the editors across the board, to also appreciate what these values are and how it is useful for the industry. And I think that because this is a behavioral change that needs to happen. We have to bring people into the sort of mindset that being ethical actually pays because it raises your credibility if you're able to adhere to those and to demonstrate that, you know, that your credibility comes because you have actually followed these standards. So if you are a media outlet, a news media outlet, you choose not to. And you know, which is fine, you have the choice. But, you know, as time goes on, the information or awareness will come. And the council ought to do those kind of things to create public awareness, how to distinguish a credible media versus one that is actually not upholding ethical and professional standards. So, but it has to come with capacities as well. So I think training, workshops, exposure will be very important for the media community.
So Gayathri, you mentioned public awareness. And now most of the people who've been appointed to the Pro Tem Committee are either associated with or closely linked to the media in one way, shape or form. So is the committee going to be seeking a public consultation as well?
It was very clear from the meeting yesterday that that's a commitment from all parties. I was very encouraged to hear that. And as someone who has been talking about public consultation, at least that one I can assure you that that it will be on the agenda. And I think it's very important. In fact, stakeholder consultation, open town halls will be things that I think the committee will definitely look at, given even though the time is short, but there are ways of doing this. And I think in that process, it's also to get people to understand what a council can actually do for them. Rather than just say, okay, what are your thoughts about a council? But also to actually say, okay, here's actually what a council can do, but what else would you seek from it? What are some of the standards, the values you think is important in terms of your engagement with the media? So yes, there's a very strong commitment to conducting these public consultations, but I also see it as an opportunity to sort of talk more about the council and how it will serve the public interest.
So do we have any indication yet on when these public consultations may take place?
So not yet, because we haven't actually convened the meeting and hopefully we can do it as soon as possible. So we do have, you know, the statement is 2 months. So that's kind of a really speedy, a short timeline. So at the moment, we don't have a calendar of consultations or meetings. But I think that this is something that we will definitely be releasing and sharing because we, you know, many of us, in the Pro Tem Committee are also committed towards transparency. So it's something that we definitely want to publicize as much as possible, as and when we also think about content that we have drafts. That's at least our commitment. I can't say for the entire Pro Tem, but I think there are many of us within the committee that who are committed towards these practices.
Thank you very much, Gayathri. And that was Gayathri Venkateswaran of the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, speaking to us about the Malaysian Media Council. Now, there are a number of people on the Pro Tem Committee, including Jahab Asadiq, who's a representative of the Malaysian Insight, Ruzaid Rahman of The Star, Razi Razak, who's of Gerakan Media Merdeka. So overall, I think this is a fairly comprehensive list of people they've put together. And I'm encouraged that they are discussing putting, you know, things like the Printing Presses and Publications Act, you know, foremost on their list of priorities to be addressed. Because as long as we have this kind of draconian legislation in place, it really does hamper any kind of free media.
Yeah, no question. Rome was never built in a day and will not be built in a day where the Malaysian media industry is concerned. But this council comes together at a time when the industry is in a huge state of flux. It is being disrupted badly by digital media itself, unfettered in how it conducts its business. And the industry themselves, in terms of the establishment, are finding themselves hugely existentially threatened. Look at where Media Prima is, Utusan Malaysia, Astro Malaysia, Star Publications. The Media Council finds itself at a very challenging time and a very exciting time as well. I'd like to see what they do first off the docket.
Indeed, and we'll be watching this quite closely indeed as members of the media ourselves. Right now, though, we are heading into the 8 o'clock news, and after that, we'll be having the Breakfast Grill, where Khoo Soo Chong speaks with Dr. Rizal Khairi Ahmad, CEO of Nano Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.